My guest at this time is Dr. David Hogberg. He is a healthcare policy analyst at the National Center for Public Policy Research, and he's also the author of the brand new study, Why the Young Invincibles Won't Participate in the Obamacare Exchanges and Why It Matters. It's a study focusing on the young and supposedly healthy Americans who are going to be expected to purchase healthcare coverage when they might otherwise not have. And Dr. Hogberg has concluded that the financial incentives are still there for folks not to do it. It's much cheaper in just about every case to pay the fine rather than actually purchase the policy. And, sir, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Sum up the crux of the Obamacare methodology here. What do they need from young, healthy people in order to make the rest of this work?
They need the young and healthy to participate in the exchanges because they need the young and healthy. We're talking here basically people ages 18 to 34 and the bulk of them who are childless and single to participate in the exchanges because they are needed to sort of cross-subsidize the people who are older and sicker. And if they don't participate, at least in sufficient numbers in the exchanges, then you run the risk of what's known as an insurance death spiral. And this is basically where not enough young and healthy participate. The price of the premiums rise to cover the costs of the older and sicker. And then more young and healthy drop out. The price goes up again. Eventually, a number of insurers are going to drop out of the exchanges because they will be unable to make a profit. And so you'll have fewer insurance companies competing, which of course also has an effect on the price of increasing it, and so you basically end up with an exchange pool here that's older and sicker, and the price of insurance is extremely prohibitive. You know, you don't have an insurance system that really does a good job of covering most people.
And we're obviously starting to see the push for young people ages 18 to 34 to sign up starting October 1st. You mentioned in the study, Dr. Hogberg, that they need about 2.7 million young people in that age bracket to sign up. What type of success rate does that come out to? In other words, what percentage is that of the total pool that they're targeting here?
A little over 33% of the entire pool, because they're expecting 7 million in the to join the exchanges in the first year. They're expecting about 2.7 18 to 30 year olds to join. And I ran the numbers, and even if you exclude, let's say, just the people who have who would pay $1,000 plus in premiums. In other words, they would have an incentive to simply forego insurance because it would save them $1,000 and just pay the fine. If you exclude them and include the others who don't have that incentive, you'd still come up about 780,000 people short in that age group. So even under the best of assumptions, I don't think they're going to reach that number.
You give the example of a young woman living in Washington, D.C., and that the $95 fee, even if she purchases the bare bones plan, which is the lowest premium, she's still losing money, and it makes more sense for her to just pay the fine rather than buying the coverage. Do you believe, based on your research, that most young people will do the math, or do you think that there is, to some extent, given their support for President Obama in general, that folks will do it even if it doesn't make financial sense necessarily?
I seriously doubt it. I mean, it's one thing to actually, you know, vote. I mean, let's face it, going to the polls doesn't entail an awful lot of cost. You know, you lose some time, maybe you have to sign up, but, you know, if you have motor voter or something like that, or same day registration, the cost of voting are pretty low. Signing up for insurance, on the other hand, is a lot more costly. You have to fill out a lot of paperwork. You have to hand over a lot of your private information. And then for a lot of these people who are of young people who have relatively modest incomes, you know, we're not talking $40,000-$50,000 here. We're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $35,000 at most. You know, you're going to be having to fork over $500 to $1,000 out of pocket for the premiums. You know, this is after the exchange subsidies are factored in. And so, you know, why do that when you can pay $95 or maybe, you know, the other part of the fine, which is 1% of income, when that's going to be less than paying, out of pocket. And let's face it, for a lot of these young people, you know, something like $500, that's easily a month's rent in many places in America. $1,000, spread that over 12 months. You know, if you're a careful shopper, that's groceries. You know, if you shop at a place like Aldi for a year, you know, you could get started on a used car payment. All of these things are really, you know, important to people who are just starting out, and having to purchase insurance on the exchange is going to impose a burden on them. And I don't think their quote unquote loyalty to Obama is going to go very far once they start feeling the pain in their pocketbook.
We're talking with Dr. David Hochberg of the National Center for Public Policy Research. And Dr. Hochberg, one of the things that the president loves to tout about this plan is the fact, and it's unrelated to the exchanges, but is that young people can stay on their parents' health insurance coverage until they're 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do those count towards the 2.7 million, or do they need 2.7 million on top of all those folks who are hanging on to their parents' policy?
Well, my study tried to control for that by having a variable in there. You are you on private insurance, and then are you the actual owner of insurance? So, you know, hopefully those people under age 26 who are on their parents were sort of weeded out by my study. But, you know, either way, look, if those folks are on, you know, their parents' policy, then they're not going to be going into the exchanges. And so that means even less, you know, young and healthy people going into the exchanges, which just, you know, means the burden in terms of getting enough young and healthy people in there to cross-subsidize the older and sicker is going to be just that much more difficult.
A couple quick questions for Dr. Hochberg before we let you go. One of the things we saw in the headlines this week, sir, is that the president has quietly delayed the imposing of out-of-pocket caps for folks for a year. Some say that's designed to artificially lower premiums, perhaps in an election year, or to convince people that this plan is a good thing, and then in 2015 it'll smack people in the face. What do you think is the impact of that move?
I suspect that the impact of that is, one, as you mentioned, probably to make things a little less arduous during an election year, hence also, you know, the suspension of the employer mandate, which was a bigger deal, probably to also keep premiums down. And we'll just see. I mean, there's no guarantee that, you know, they're just going to suspend these things for 1 year if enough people find them onerous. I mean, there are things that Congress has suspended routinely, everything from the alternative minimum tax to the Medicare doc fix. You know, they redo these or suspend them every year, and you know, we may see that the very beginning of that with some of these things. So, you know, Obamacare just overall is not a particularly workable piece of legislation, and you know, everything we've seen in the last couple of months points to that.
Last question: we mentioned that the exchanges open for enrollment on October 1st. What is the timetable that you think or the administration has laid out for when they want these numbers to be on the books? When will we know whether it's the start of next year, sometime later next year, whether this was a hit or a flop?
Well, I suspect if it's a hit, you'll see the numbers pretty early on. I mean, the Obama administration is going to want to get those out pretty quick. If it's a flop, you know, they'll delay the numbers, and you won't really know probably till the middle of the year when the insurers on the exchanges release their requests for what they want to raise premiums by for the following year. And if you see, you know, routinely insurers requesting rate increases of 25%, 30%, 40%, you probably got a pretty good idea that the young and healthy did not sign up in mass numbers, and that the pools are probably headed towards something of a death spiral.
Well, it's a fascinating look at an important part of this process. Dr. Hochberg, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, and again, you can find the study at nationalcenter.org.
Nationalcenter.org is where you can find the study. David Hochberg is a healthcare policy analyst at the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.